Accession number 30277, Reel 2.
What were you being told? What sorts of briefings were you getting from your superior officers in relation to the situation of the war, in relation to possibly your destination, where you would end up?
Well, at that stage, at the early stage in the 28th Battalion Militia, we didn't receive anything like that at all. And, of course, militia units were only supposed to be used within Australia. So it didn't come into our scheme of things to be sent overseas. When we went into AIF, of course, that was different. We were to be sent to the Middle East, and we had our sea kits issued to us at Old Seymour to catch the boats, and that was when the Japanese came into the war, that particular month.
All right, we'll talk about the Japanese. That was a sort of year off,
yes,
at this stage, and I wanted to talk about the sort of the continuing situation in Europe and how that was possibly affecting you and concerns that people might have here in Australia. Let's talk about the experience as you remember it, of being in uniform, of training, the continued training and life in the army as it was to develop for you.
Yes.
During that time.
Yeah. Hurry up slowly.
What did it feel like to be in uniform?
Oh, I took to it quite easily. Quite easily. It was great, actually. I was better off than I had ever been in my life before. Because, you know, the wage of 12 and 6 a week, it was probably got up to 15 shillings a week by the time I joined the army. You get fed and clothed and fairly well looked after. And it was probably better than home life. And I suppose many of us were in the same category as I was in.
Do you remember the blitz against England starting and what that was, that was sort of broadcast, how that was seen over here?
I think that the impact of television and things like that brings it close to you, but at those particular days, vivid picture you could get is at newsreels in picture theatres.
What were your impressions of those?
I didn't see them very often. We couldn't afford them. But, very devastating. Very devastating, yes. They put up with a hell of a lot. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the experience, obviously. I mean, we've got the Axis powers and the Italians being involved. How are the Italians seen, the Italian forces?
I think most of the young people and the bit older ones too, I think they viewed the Italians as a bit of a joke. There were many Italians around here, of course. Where I grew up in Bayswater, we had Italians and Croats and Russians and a whole lot of different people in the little paddocks that had 5 or 10 acres or something like that in the back blocks. So, what was the question again?
I was asking you how the Italians were seen. You thought they were a bit of a joke. And we see in January of 1941 that the Australians and the British Army take Tobruk.
Yes, yes.
And we hear of Bardia and places like that and the success that the Allies were having against the Italians. How was that thought of here in Australia?
Well, I suppose it didn't do the Italian people much good here, because people would have viewed them as being pretty ineffective. But there again, I have no real memories of what the general public thought of them.
Do you recall the early successes and how they were seen? You hear the Australians,
beefy chaps,
successfully taking Tobruk.
Yes, yes, indeed. I've just read where the Italians went into Ethiopia and how they fared there. Wingate was in part of the British force there. With a handful of men, they kicked them out. Yeah.
Well, we see, these sort of acres of Italian POWs taken. Oh, it's easy to count them acres of men as opposed to numbers.
Yeah.
In relation to the early successes before people like Rommel came in, to what degree did that sort of bolster morale here in Australia?
Oh, I think it was a great booster. And of course, as I said before, young people, we thought the empire would win. You know, there was no doubt about it, we would win in the ultimate. Now you realise, after reading so much about it, you realise the seriousness of how close it was.
Yeah. Well, obviously, things begin to happen throughout 41 in relation to the Africa Corps arriving in North Africa, and then the table turns. We have the stalemate in Tobruk, which happens. We have the rats of Tobruk holding Tobruk against the German onslaught. How are the Africa Corps seen as a fighting force?
Oh, I think they were very efficient, and I suppose reading stories on it, one would have to say that the German forces were very well trained, quite dedicated, quite ruthless, and it was always a worry. Yeah.
To what degree was there a respect for the enemy, do you think? You mentioned that the Italians were seen as a bit of a joke, but my impression of Rommel and the Africa Corps and the German forces was different.
I think totally different. Yeah, they were considered a real worry, and they would have been, as you say, respected. Yes, not so the Japanese.
How were they seen? Obviously, they hadn't come into the war yet.
No,
long before they invaded Pearl Harbor. How were they sort of looked upon as a fighting force, as a potential enemy?
Well, we were the little bit of information that that we were given, and this has been in many publications. We were sort of told that they were all squat little dumplings with all with eyeglasses and couldn't see, and quite hopeless. Yeah, I suppose you've heard that before. Yeah. Yeah, that was all we knew about them, absolutely. Yeah.
So when in December we have obviously the fall of the attack on Pearl Harbor, how was that seen? December 7th, 1941.
Yes, Our Colonel Chardon got up and he said, he made quite a speech of it, and told us that any chance of going to the Middle East was now over, and that we would, especially the signals people, would be on, certain teams would be on wireless watch 24 hours a day, he considered it very serious. He didn't belittle the Japanese at all. So a bit more knowledgeable person, I suppose, than many of the writers.
Well, I understand that it came as a big shock.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be long, obviously, before they were bombing Singapore, and then obviously the threat of them coming down the Malay Peninsula into Singapore.
Yes.
What do you recall of that period? Here we are. You literally.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty devastating. And of course, one of the things that brought it home rather dramatically, very dramatically, was the Prince of Wales and the other vessel.
The Repulse.
The Repulse, yeah, that were sunk by Japanese aeroplanes. You know, something that none of us had ever considered, and probably many services men had never considered, that it'd be possible. Yeah, that was a terrible thing.
In relation to this sort of new threat, obviously the Americans are in the war now, which was seen as a positive thing.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
How are the Americans as a fighting force, as an ally now, seen?
Well, I got on all right with a few Yanks that I had met. As a matter of fact, I still write to Dan Illerich in Texas. He was a sergeant, wireless air gunner in a Liberator, was shot down over Brunei Bay, and he parachuted out, and we eventually caught up with him and a few other of his crew, and he was helping me with the wireless work, but that's a bit later down the track.
Okay. But they were seen as a pretty impressive force, I understand.
Yes, yes. Having said that, I'm just reading a bit of New Guinea fighting, and apparently the Australians, battalions, were far more progressive and got the job done than the Americans that were there at Boona and Gona and San Ananda.
All right, we can talk about that too. And my impression is that Curtin is looking to America now. Forget about England, they can't help us down here. They've lost Singapore. How is the fall of Singapore seen?
Yeah, well, we had a lot of friends in the 2nd, 4th machine gunners. I had a lot of friends in that, and many of them didn't come home. So, you know, it was a great shock that these Japanese were so bloody efficient as to have covered this amount of territory which everybody said was impossible, and taken Singapore. They say the water pipe across the piece of ocean there, Causeway, was all the water came from Malaysia, and that was cut off, and that was one of the reasons. But I don't think that was a really valid thing. They would have taken it anyway. Yeah, terrible.
But the shock of this. Of the loss of the jewel in the
crown,
in the sea.
Oh, yes, it was pretty devastating, and everyone knew that they'd be on our doorstep. Yeah, and indeed, going down the track a bit further, we were in the armoured division. We were holding the Brisbane line.
Did you know what the Brisbane line was? Was there a sort of understanding what it was?
Not a clue. Didn't have a clue. We just knew that we were deployed right across the northern New South Wales and partly into Queensland with the tanks. And it's only years later that you look back on these things and you read articles where they were going to abandon Western Australia and Northern Territory and just hold the Brisbane line down there, that you suddenly realise that's what we were there for, to try and hold them at that point.
All right, we're going a little bit ahead, and I should have discussed with you a little bit more about what your duties were, and you mentioned Armoured Division. What were you being trained to do in the Army?
Originally, the 65 were a troop that was wireless and line, both. Later, they split the troop into O troop for the line people and T troop for just wireless sets. But we were trained just after the Japanese came in. I was listening post at a place called Rokeby in Victoria. A friend of mine was also listening post at a dugout. We had to, with a team of three others, we had to listen 24 hours a day to anything through what we could have done about it. We didn't have much in the way of tanks or anything, although we did see the Australian built tank. It visited, I think it was called the Sentinel. And
what were your impressions of the Sentinel?
It was looking good, and the write up on it was very good too, but unfortunately it did half of its job going around the paddock and threw a track off, so we didn't see the Sentinel anymore. A little while later, of course, the General Grants and the General Stuart tanks started to come in, and we moved up to Narrabri, Gunnedah, and northern New South Wales. But we were being trained wireless operators. When we were at Rokeby, we had the listening posts there. Nothing ever came through of great importance, mind you. But then we were probably only there for the winter. We were there for the winter of, what would it have been? The winter of 42. They came in 41, didn't they? Late. Yeah, the winter.
Singapore falls early 42. Then they've got bombings in Broome and Darwin.
Yes.
What do you remember of,
yes,
of attacking, Japanese attacking Broome and Darwin?
I don't know whether we heard too much about it, to tell you the truth. I think that was largely suppressed. I had a friend, a couple of friends who were in Darwin with the infantry, and they have since told me that nothing got back to Adelaide. One of them was from Adelaide. He said nothing got back to Adelaide, excepting in a case where somebody was moved down there to hospital or something like that, and he took a letter for one of his mates to give to his wife, and that's about the only reason that certain information got through. But I don't recall until many years later the seriousness of Broome, Darwin, etc.
Well, I mean, they had midget submarines in Sydney.
Exactly.
Sydney Harbour. What did you hear anything about that?
No. I was in Sydney on leave, and I cannot remember the time of it, but I was living in there's a multi-story, well, there weren't multi-story for those days, there were probably about three stories. I was in, sleeping in a room there, and it overlooks the bridge, and I woke up this particular night. I was only there briefly, possibly three or four nights, and the machine guns were all firing from the top of the bridge, and never found out why they were firing or whether it was the submarine attack, or just don't know to this day, and probably will never know. Yes.